Penguin Random House Audio presents Break in Case of Emergency by Jessica Winter. Read for you by Exy Sands. We flatter ourselves by thinking this compulsion to please others an attractive trait, a gift for imaginative empathy, evidence of our willingness to give. Joan Didion, on Self-Respect. Everything behind those French doors is full and meaningful. The gestures, the glances, the conversation that can't be heard. How do you get to be so full and so full of only meaningful things? Zadie Smith, N.W. Spring. Our focus is focus itself. It's hard to reproduce those kinds of results if... Oh, sorry, Jen said, realizing a beat too late that the rest of the room had gone quiet. Leora Infinitus had already taken her place at the head of the table. For one silent, screaming moment, it looked as if she were attempting to rip her own face off. But, in fact, she was tugging at her eyelash extensions under the placid gaze of the members of her board, who were seated in a corner conference room at the headquarters of the Leora Infinitus Foundation, also known as LIFT. Jen scanned the other women around the jade and walnut table, festooned with crystal and bamboo vases filled with fresh-cut Gerbera daisies and flamingo lilies, selected at Leora's request for their air-filtering qualities, and replaced every day, even on days when the conference room was not in use, which was most days. The other women sat in tranquil anticipation as Leora yanked with greater urgency at her right eyelid, using the pincher of her thumb and forefinger, as if trying to thread a needle with her own flesh. The rain against Lyft's floor-to-ceiling windows chattered like a gathering crowd, even as the white noise that pumped in from every ceiling at Lyft, an undulating whoosh, an airless air conditioning, began to hush. Jen shivered. Even a month into her tenure at Lyft, her body still misapprehended the whoosh as an arctic blast that required shuddering adjustments to her internal thermostat. Leora Infinitus' lashes now lay on the tabletop before her, a squashed yet glamorous bug. Without them, Leora looked at once diminished and more beautiful. Flecks of glue balanced on her eyelids. She blinked rapidly and stared into the table, searching the lacquer for the script, the incantation, hidden below its glinting surface. "I don't like the idea of limiting ourselves," Leora finally said. "I'm a big believer in not settling for 24 hours in a day." Rain shattered against the windows, the applause track of a sitcom. A head nodded. A pair of lips buzzed. A pen tapping on the table stilled itself. The flowers stood beguiled in their vases. The electrons in the air murmured to one another in grave consultation, then telepathically cabled the message to the rest of the room that Leora, in 21 words, had concluded her opening statements. It would be up to her brain trust to borrow Leora's phrasing, advance the conversation. Whoosh. "Who is to say," intoned Donna, the board chair and one of Leora's closest friends, "that there are not 25 hours in a day?" "Right, who decided that anyway?" asked board member Sunny, who was also Leora's personal assistant. "We always said we'd have a startup mentality," Leora said. She peered down at the squashed eyelash bug. Soundlessly, Sunny materialized at her side, palmed it into a cup tissue, and evanesced back into her seat. "Startups never sleep," Leora continued, metaphorically speaking. "Totally," Sunny said, nodding with her entire head and neck, the tissue of squashed eyelash bug clasped in her hand. "Totally" was something Sunny said a lot whenever Leora spoke. Sunny's "totally" was so total that it became two words. Totally. "But at the same time, why bother doing everything if you're not doing everything in the right way?" Leora asked. Sunny moaned. Donna squared her shoulders. "I think that right now, at this moment in the young history of Lyft, and especially at this perilous moment in our global economy, our focus is focus itself," she said. Her voice was deep and stern, the vowels round and sonorous as church bells. Her hands sculpted the air. Multiple bangles on each of her wrists clanked together in a wind chime of assent. "But shining a light on certain ideas now doesn't mean that other worthy ideas are left to languish and wilt in the dark forever." Sunny was slow-motion headbanging, We must focus on those projects that feel most immediate to us, Donna continued. This sensation of the year 2009 leaping bravely into spring after such a bitter winter, what does that feel like? Let's capture it. Let's hold that moment and transform it. We can return to other more timeless ideas later, a wellspring of creativity that will nourish us when we feel depleted from giving birth to our first idea children. And we cannot be afraid. I love it, Sunny said, clenching a fist to her sternum. Donna, you are amazing. Karina, Liara said imperiously to Lyft's executive director, seated to her right. What would you prioritize? Karina, who had been raking her fingers through her hair and then twisting the strands, raking and twisting, tossed her hair over her shoulder and widened her eyes, as if absorbing the shock and import of a happy epiphany. I'm going to second what you're saying, Liara. Focus, 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 she said. The only way we can possibly limit ourselves is by taking on too much at once. We're empowering ourselves by making the choice to make choices. The newness of the foundation and the uncertainty of the historical moment, we can see them as dares. Dares to be bold, dares to make decisions and own those decisions. Jen stifled a smile and looked down at her open notebook where she'd written board meeting notes with her fountain pen and gradually added serifs and flourishes until the letters became a row of Gerbera daisies and flamingo lilies. From the first time they'd met, Jen recognized Karina as a master of the filibuster, but she hadn't yet seen Karina cast the spell on Liara, the gift of shrouding any and every topic in a fluffy word cloud of reiterative agreement, until the original query was swallowed up in the woozy vapor of resounding enthusiasm for an unstated but sublime goal. Karina shook her head wonderingly and peered into a dazzling middle distance, taking in a new horizon line. I'm really jazzed about this, she said. I can't wait. 45 minutes later, as the meeting did not adjourn, but rather transitioned into a discussion of Liara's daughter's Bikram instructor's ayahuasca retreats in Oaxaca, Jen's line of Gerbera daisies and flamingo lilies had sprouted into a garden of vines and ivy that plumed across both open pages of her notebook, speckled with topiary animals and actual bounding cats. The stippled sketch form of Jen's toddler goddaughter, Millie, peeked around a flowering espalier with a little fistful of poppies, a wreath of gardenias and eucalyptus atop her black curls. Jen closed the notebook, rose, and began to leave the room, but hovered at the head of the table beside Liara. She had resolved to hover in awkward mid-stride, resulting in a slight lurching motion that stirred up a gruesomely intact memory of balking on the pitcher's mound in Little League with the bases loaded on ball four. Jen had not yet been introduced to Liara and keenly wanted to introduce herself now, but just as keenly wanted not to disrupt Liara's Oaxaca anecdote, which involved a surreally vivid dream induced by a midnight snack of chapulines and chocolate mole, wherein a Mercado stall reassembled itself as an animatronic giant and began clank-clanking toward Liara, embroidered tunics and colorful straw handbags winging down from its bionic shoulders in a confetti of symbolism. You know, Mercado, machines, merchandise, mechanical reproduction. The moment was just so rich in meaning, Liara was saying. I don't have the machinery to deconstruct it. Wow, Sunny said. Swaying on her feet, Jen tried to catch Karina's eye to plead mutely for an assist. But in each of the rapt faces around the table, Jen recognized the temporary tunnel vision that she herself had adapted and perfected in high school as an overtaxed waitress at a casual dining franchise. She arranged a grin on her face that was intended to convey merry diffidence and backed out of the room. Looking busy. Do you want to talk about it? Daisy asked when Jen returned to her desk. Jen flopped theatrically into the chair behind her desk. Wait, I have no idea why I just did that, she said. I've been sitting for days. She stood up, then sat down again, more daintily. We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, Daisy said. You only infiltrated a board meeting. Daisy was flipping through a perfect-bound magazine-like tome titled Fur-Lined Teacup, Animals, Fashion, Feminism. The cover depicted, against a white backdrop, an impassive Russian blue cat in a trilby. I infiltrated nothing. They just needed someone to take notes, Jen said, and it would be my honor to talk about it. Liara broke her toe, paragliding in Turks and Caicos, which her guru told her was a metaphor for a fundamental incompatibility between her Ying Mai and her Luo Mai. So when the nail falls off her toe, she has to wear it in a titanium locket around her neck until Mercury enters Virgo. Karina was at a party with the Russian billionaire who is building the cyborg clone of himself, and he asked her what she was going to bequeath to her brain in her will.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?